Welcome to Sunday Scriptures for Patriots. We are overcoming America's enemies with Christ's kingdom government. So let's talk to Barry DeMaz. How are you doing, Barry?
John, good morning, sir. I'm doing well, and I am overcoming enemies to my life, which is the microcosm of what we're dealing with in America.
Absolutely. We're going to get into so many interesting topics today about the family government that, you know, that God has created and designed, the family unit as this divine form of governance. So we're going to get into the husband, the wife, you know, conflicts, working them out, how that can occur. And a lot of women who maybe listen to the show or have listened to this type of perspective, they have some pushback about this. And so we want to address that and go to the Bible for the answers. That's what this show is all about. We're going to do all of that as soon as we get back from a word from our sponsor who's supporting our ministry. So please support his business and get prepared for any kind of economic downturn that could be happening. There's a link in the description below. So check out this word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Gold is near all-time highs. Has it reached its peak? Did you miss the boat? No, I don't think so. The exploding debt, change in the interest rate cycle, political and economic turmoil have caused the current move in gold. And those things are getting worse. In fact, Citibank projected gold to hit $3,000 an ounce over the next 12 to 18 months. I encourage you to protect and grow your investment portfolio with gold. I trust Dr. Kirk Elliott with Sovereign Advisors. With over 25 years of experience and two PhDs, Kirk Elliott is the best of the best in the industry. Call his office at 720-605-3900 and tell him Sean Morgan sent you, or just click on the link in the description to get that free consultation.
Okay, Barry, let's get right into it. Last time we started talking about what the Bible actually says about the husband's role, the wife's role, and what they can do to work things out. And maybe I'll actually just I can read out loud the scriptures. I'm going to look for the scriptures that were mentioned in the last episode. But go ahead, Barry. Tell us what happened when you posted that on your YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, this is great. I have been looking forward to today. And so thank you for being receptive to us today. We're really, last week we spoke about men cultivating family government. And when that got posted, we received a comment from a listener, and I'm just going to mention her first name. And this is Andrea, or it could be Andrea. I've met a few that like to go with Andrea, but I'll assume Andrea. And so she and I had just a brief exchange, and I told her that we would reply, give a meaningful reply to her objections and concerns to some of the content that was shared in episode 5. And and in doing that, I'm not going to deal initially with the specifics, but we can get there. I believe there's wisdom in taking a step back from the specifics of what we spoke about last week, and let's deal with some higher level biblical principles and ideas that will help us kind of hopefully get an aha between us, like, oh, this is why there's, you know, this continual breakdown. Okay. And so this precious lady, sounds like she was in an abusive relationship.
And, 20 years, she said.
20 years.
And some people might have weaponized the Bible as a justification for that abuse.
Yes. And so, Andrea, I pray to God that you're listening. I've been praying for you. And I, first of all, yeah, thank you for feeling bold and free enough to submit your comment. I do take that to heart. Okay. And you're welcome that, you know, we're acknowledging it, and we want to. We're here to be of service to householders. And if you are a single head of household, meaning if you don't have your husband now, you kind of intimated that. I could be wrong. I hear that you've got 6 children that you just praise that you've got good relations with. But we are, Sean and I have this program to speak to householders. That's an area of government, your family. And that's what this program is about, bringing the scriptures, the law, word of God forward. And so Thank you for what you shared. It gives us an opportunity to just, let's deal with some of these hard things. But again, Sean, so before we go down, if we can get there today, let's deal with what I've learned to do. And that is, let's identify our presuppositions. There's a nice big word for you, Sean, and for our listeners. So it's good to use the dictionary. I love Webster's 1828 dictionary. If you don't have that, friends, you need to get that dictionary. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But when you look up the word presupposition, we just break it out. The pre is a prefix, meaning before, right? Something's come before. So the root word supposition or suppose, this is what we want to look at. And Webster, in his 1828 edition dictionary, he says that to suppose something is to lay down or state as a proposition or fact that may exist to be true, though not known or believed to be true or exist, or to imagine or to admit to exist for the sake of argument or illustration. And then he gives an example. He says, let us suppose the earth to be the center of the system. What would be the consequence? Okay.
It's like a thought experiment.
Yes. So Sean, presuppositions, in another word, is we're all communicating and talking about things without really identifying the underlying and the foundational basis of our thinking. We've all grown up in the world that we're in. We all are a product of our educators. That's a really true statement. We really are, until we start digging ourselves. Okay. And a lot of people don't dig for themselves. They just take on what other people tell them. Right. So, I've got several presuppositions I want Andrea for you to consider and all of our listeners. And that is, this first one is this. Let's talk about the effect of the law word of our unseen king.
Okay. Sorry, before you go further, Barry, I just want to make sure everyone knows what it is Andrea commented on. She said that it's not true that women can correct their husbands, that that you incorrectly interpreted the Bible. And she started talking about how she was in an abusive relationship for 20 years, and that was a bad situation. And when bad things happen and bad people are husbands, that women need to be able to correct them. And she said that it's biblical, although she didn't mention any part of the Bible that mentioned any part where wives are allowed or supposed to correct their husbands. And so, and she was referencing the part of the scripture, or she wasn't referencing it. You were referencing it when you said, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, for the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, she didn't disagree with that with any other reference to any other scripture saying, oh no, there's this other scripture that says women can correct their husbands. She was just kind of saying in her own mind, she believes that that's a biblical principle, that women should be able to correct their husbands, but she wasn't able to make it actually biblical. So Barry, that's why we're having this conversation. Now go ahead, go back into your presuppositions.
Yeah. No, that's good. Good. Thank you for that. That's excellent. And let's keep our listeners in mind, Sean, that we're dealing with the government of Christ on the land today as the solution to overcoming enemies to our country. And all the attacks and problems in our country do not begin there. See, this is a presupposition I have, and it's biblical, and this is what this show is about. They begin in the family. All the nation's problems begin in the family. And we dealt with this previously about Genesis chapter 2 and 3. The first family was attacked. That's where the battle rages. Okay, so let's go with this here. I said a minute ago, there's a presupposition about the effect of God's word, his law, when it is published, when it is spoken, when it comes out of our mouths. You just read, okay, Sean, that passage again, 1 Peter 3:1-6. And then there's verse 7 that does speak to the husband. Okay, let's look at this now. We'll just slow down. I have found in the scriptures, there's two things that happen when the word of God is sown, when it's declared, when it's spoken. And here's what they are. I see in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing that word of God. Okay. Now, this faith life that we're in Christ, everything is by faith. And by faith, we have to believe that when the word of God is spoken, faith comes. Sean,
yeah.
Faith. Now that faith. That's huge. I mean, because we're not doing anything by sight for the Lord. It has to be by faith. Okay. So that's one thing I see that happens is that, faith comes. But now here's a second thing. In Mark chapter 4, this is the passage, and it's the parable of the sower sowing the word. You remember the different soils. There's the one where, you know, the birds of the air come and pick up the seed. There's the stony ground. And then there's the one that's all overgrown with thorns and weeds, and it chokes out the word, right? When he goes to interpret that parable, again, that's in Mark chapter 4. When he explains it, those birds of the air, here's what he says, what's happening. When the sower sows the word, which is what we're doing, this program, the devil comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in the heart. Hello.
Yeah, I'm not calling Andrea the devil.
But, No. This is what happens to any of us. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. People are going to challenge you on biblical beliefs. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, it can come from Christians, but they won't even reference the Bible when they're correcting you.
That's correct, Sean. So just, I'm glad you said, we're not,
God forbid. Not trying to beat up on Andrea. She really did seem to mean well.
No, because see, when I shared the word of God, and she objected to that passage in 1 Peter 3, she's not taking the word of God out of my heart. No, I'm doing the sowing, okay? And it's about what she heard when the word of the Lord came forward, okay? And so just from these two passages, again, that's Romans 10:17, faith comes, but then Mark chapter 4, the devil comes. And I don't know which one comes first, or if they come at the same time. That one I haven't deduced yet. But this has been so helpful to me, Sean. It is to really recognize the word law of God is authoritative in the earth today. Not your word, Sean, not my word. We must read, quote, and reason and apply the Bible. That is the King's authority in our lives.
I think that is so scary to most people who are humanistic, who are intellectual, who have been navigating their lives by their own will and their own leaning upon their own understanding, as most of us in the world do. Yeah. But that's how we get into problems in our life, when we try to figure everything out ourselves, because we are these frail, fallen humans who we don't have the big picture. We don't understand it all. And we need to get divine inspiration to be able to jump out of this level of consciousness, mm-hmm. of selfishness. And the Bible is this great way to do it. And it's this objective thing that's external that we can look at and say, oh, okay, yes, that's where we can get the answers. If I'm always getting the answers from myself, I'm always going to keep on getting into these problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's great, Sean. You're saying that what I hear you saying is that we are not to be authority unto ourselves. Okay. We have to have a conscience that's void of offense before first God, and that, you know, we have to have a habit, a lifestyle. Now, we're presuming that a lot of people listening are followers of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, but not everybody may be. Regardless, we're establishing the fact that for those who say and confess that they are believers, we're not talking about being preoccupied with meetings, friends. And this is, this is another one related to this. We're not focusing on meetings, conferences, reading books, but the book of books, which is actually a library of 66 volumes. Okay. It's a library. It's a small portable library. And you have that in your heart, and you are overcoming the world to have His word hidden in your heart. And Sean, you know, you've been good to embrace me, do this program. You're a young father. I've been at this for 24 years, and there's friends of mine that have been doing it longer. But I've got evidence that it works when a father and a mother take the word of God in their home daily and say, this is what is God's will. You're not setting yourself up as the authority. You're establishing Jesus Christ is Lord of that home. And even unto an embassy. This is what we're talking about. Our homes, yeah, our embassies.
So interesting is we're all learning submission, aren't we? I mean, this is what kind of riled Andrea and probably riles a lot of women who have been listening to this whole idea. They just hate the idea of submitting to an unjust person. Mm-hmm. And but you look, this is a lesson for men. We need mm-hmm. to submit to the King. We need to submit to the law, right? This is yes. not some kind of patriarchal thing that just has to do with men ruling with an iron fist here. This is about Jesus reigning and men reigning in His likeness, imitation.
Yes. Yes. Sean. Okay. That's excellent. So you're getting to another presupposition. And so as we talk, come into that now, so just want everyone to hear that, you know, when the word is sown, when it is spoken and proclaimed, just to be thinking about that faith comes and the devil comes, and which one are you going to let prevail or overcome in your life? Okay. Yeah. Prevail. You want faith to prevail. But now you bring up about submission. So here's the thing. How come all these years, there's this, you know, dichotomy that, women are to submit and men are to what? They're to, you know, they're to rule, or they're to love their wives like Christ. Yes, that's there in Ephesians, chapter 5. But now look, women, submission is not exclusive to women. The men must submit. And let me quote one passage right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the King as supreme and likewise. Okay. Those who, well, that's the end of that passage, the verse right here. I'm looking, whether to the King is supreme. So this is talking to the brothers, the men at a minimum, because, Lord help me.
Barry, I have a quick comment on this, which is that if it's men's job to protect and cultivate their wives, and it's the father's job, you know, to protect and cultivate the children and, mm-hmm. and so forth. I mean, that sounds like a certain sense of servitude as well. There's you're submitting yes. to that role and that task, right?
Yes.
So it might sound like ruling, you know, and it is, but it's a servant leadership, isn't it?
It's the right idea of rule. Yeah. Sean, the right idea of rule. Now, listen, everyone, listen carefully here, because this is a juggernaut. We're going to continue, I think, to revisit this, because I think every problem can be settled right here. When we get clarity on what is the good news of Christ, that he brought with his first coming, that what the scripture says is the gospel. The gospel, what is that? I mean, my God, you know, we don't use that in every day. It's just in the Bible, this word gospel. Well, or so we think. But a gospel was a word. It's not a religious word. Actually, rulers in the Roman Empire, they had their gospel. It's an edict of a political potentate. Okay, the kerygma is your gospel. It's a decree. It's an imperial edict. And so it's not a religious term. It's actually
it's a governmental term.
It's a governmental term. Oh, this is exciting. It's a governmental term. Let that absorb for our listeners. Like, come on.
Gospel is a governmental term.
Yep. That's right. It's an edict of a potentate. And Jesus Christ has declared himself as the ultimate. He is the one with all power. That's why he's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of lords. And so, okay, where was I? You were going. No, what was your question now? About submission on the men?
I was just saying it's a servant leadership, isn't it?
Yes, servant leadership. That's right.
We're commanded to protect and cultivate our wives and our children. That sounds like a lot of work. It doesn't sound like we're we're like the king just telling people what to do. Like, we have responsibility, and it's a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Good, good, good. Okay, so that's right. Rule, like, that can be a sensitive word for people. Rule, like, oh no. What we were saying, Sean, is the right idea of rule is liberty, not oppression. So, Andrea, I get what you're saying there, and I thank you. Thank you for the second reply or your second comment, where you opened up a bit about your background there, and you were an abusive, sounds like a marital union, and I know that's not unique to you. There's a lot of wives have been there, we can't let the pendulum swing. Just think, oh, forget that. I'm just gonna do my own thing, go rogue. No. Sean, the right idea, but let me back up. So Andrea was under apparently the wrong idea of rule, and that's where oppression. Now, we don't know every detail, and we haven't heard the other side, because we have to be careful about that, that when the first one that comes along makes their case, they seem right until we can come and examine. Okay, that's a counseling principle. That's how we that's called cross-examination. That's what goes on in our courts. You know, somebody comes on the witness stand and makes a case. Okay, bring forward your evidence to support your argument. But then cross-examination is how we get to really what's true. Okay, not swearing an oath. It's the engine of truth telling, getting at the truth is cross-examination. Okay, so. But we're just taking Andrea at her word, even though it would be wonderful to hear from the Mr. side of things. And Lord God, could we have reconciliation here? You know, but for a lot of people, that's a foregone conclusion. They're not even thinking on that level. But so, rule that's oppressive is sin. It is of the devil. But now, rule that is brings happiness and liberty, that is the good news of our King.
So Christ does, doesn't he? He yes. lifts burdens and he destroys yes. yokes.
That's right.
And yes. I loved you taught me that in the book that you wrote. And I really appreciate those kind of, you distilled a lot of, you know, the Bible can feel like a long book, but when you can simplify it into what Christ does, it does bring some clarity there. So I know a lot of people are feeling oppressed right now, right? They feel like they're oppressed by big tech. They feel like they're oppressed by the mainstream media. They feel like they're oppressed by the government, by big pharma. They feel like they're oppressed by their husbands or their wives or their children. And that's not liberty. That's not the way to live your life. And if you can just lay all your burdens on Christ, he can lift all of them and he can destroy all the yokes that are enslaving you. And that's, it doesn't seem possible through our human perspective that that could happen, but it's at a deeper dimension of reality that it happens, doesn't it, Barry?
Yes. Sean, oh man, this is good. We're really touching on world overcoming ideas. And really, it's not just an idea in and of itself. It is the very King of Kings. We have to understand that in submitting, there is true freedom. okay, in submission, in subjecting. And so it will be so helpful for the ladies to hear this and men. But look, we men have to submit ourselves. But see, our jurisdiction is different. This is what our wives and the girls need to hear, is that, you probably don't hear enough about the men. We have to submit to the good laws that are out there. And we'll have to unpack that, because there are things that you don't want to submit to that man says you should. And we have to discern. That's a free man and a free woman, the ability to make distinctions. Okay. So right now we're making a distinction between the woman. She needs to submit to the man, but the man, he needs to submit as he goes out there in the world to do, fulfill the mission of God. Okay. We've been talking about this. You know, husbands need to cultivate their wives. All right. That's what husbanding is, like tilling the soil and prepping it. Sean, I learned this from Dennis Peacock, and this is a really great illustration. And that is, the natural condition of the garden is not flowers. What is it? It's weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm talking about we're talking about the heart. The heart. Okay. The agricultural metaphors are pertaining to the heart, a lot of them, if not all of them. And the soil of our heart. See, people, we can't be left alone. We have to be pursued. All right. And so our hearts, if left alone because of sin, there's going to be the weeds, and then those weeds will grow up to, you know, trees and strong oaks that, and rather than plucking it when it's little, like in children. Okay. This is why we want to train and discipline when they're young.
Sorry, Barry, a scripture came to mind that might be helpful here. Yes. When God was talking about, the state of humanity before he did the grand flood, Noah's flood, he said that the state of man's heart was just evil perpetually. And that statement always hit me really hard, that's the natural state of fallen man is just evil forever. Mm. That we would never of our own accord create and rise above that kind of level of depravity. And that is Christianity in a nutshell here. So, you know, there are all kinds of new age theories and stuff that humanity is just so great and divine and stuff. And we are through Christ. But if we're left to our own devices, it's not pretty. And you get Sodom and Gomorrah is what you get. So go ahead, Barry.
Yes. Well, Sean,
well, you get the weeds. You get the weeds in your heart, yes. Right?
See, this is why it's never too early to when a man and wife do come together, it's, and then there's children that come along. It's never too early. You can't say, "Oh, they're just children, and they're innocent." And No. That's not what the lawgiver said. He says in the book of Psalms that from treachery, even from the womb, friends, that
I have a 2.5-year-old. I know how they can be up to no good at a pretty early age, you know, yes. Not sharing, taking things, hurting people. It starts at a pretty early age, although there is a certain, you know, level of innocence to mm-hmm. children and everything. Mm-hmm. But you got to start early with cultivating them spiritually.
Yes, Sean. Yes. So that this is to just get people to consider that you cannot leave people alone in your life that you have a relationship with. You have jurisdiction as parents with your children. No, if you don't capture their heart, you don't cultivate the soil of pliableness and cultivating the character of our King in them, somebody or something else will. And now we're going to have. You can have nightmare, and there are nightmares out there between parents and children. God can intervene in those situations, but that's not His way. His way is the way of His Son. Okay, He is the way. Okay, we cultivate that.
Well, let me speak to that real quick, yeah. Barry, because you know this whole program is about solutions to problems, and yes, there are people out there who have problems with rebellion in their family. Right, their kids are acting out. That the relationship isn't strong, the bond, they don't trust them. And same thing in marriages, right? Relationships with parents, and it's all going wrong because someone, and you know, the only person you have control over is yourself. So you have probably been derelict in your duty of, you know, protecting and cultivating those that you're responsible for if you're a head of household. So that's a rude awakening. It's very sobering to have to admit to that. But once you figure out that's the problem, you're close to the solution, right? So that's what we're all about, is just educating and offering up those solutions of family governance.
Yes, Sean. When we, last week we dealt with cultivate, you know, men being the primary cultivators of their household government. And actually, I say primary, maybe the exclusive, you know, the wife has her role in context with her husband. She cannot move independently of him. And I mean, in the wrong way, of course. Andrea was saying, you know, women are sovereign. They're their own person. Yes. But now let's look at this. When you decided to marry a man and come under his leadership, under his headship, you did lose some liberty, if you will, okay, because you've joined yourself with a man who you're going to support and follow. He's leading. It should have started with your father. That's you know, but a lot of us didn't get that. We're not learning that, okay? But this is, Sean, we want to bring this out. Fathers are to cultivate the leadership and governance in their family to promote happiness and liberty. Okay, not carnality, not that kind of happiness, but the joy of the Lord. Okay. So, and men too. Men give up when they join.
It's not like we get a whole bunch of liberty when we get married.
Yes. No. Right. Like, John, you're
talking about servitude.
Right. You're good. You've been bringing that up, servitude. Guess what? We're not naturally inclined to want to, you know, with our wives, take the word of God and bring them something. Like, that takes effort.
Oh my gosh. What a responsibility. My gosh.
Yes. That's on our, we can't, so we're not all free willy here. No, we've taken on tremendous responsibility. If we're sober minded enough to see that, wow, I am responsible for this woman. Now she's responsible for her behavior, of course, because she is her own person. Andrea, you are your own person. However, the man, the husband, he is most responsible for the conduct and quality of the home. It's not to say the woman is responsible and that the children aren't.
Sorry, I just want to stop here, Barry. And it's truly revolutionary what you're saying. It's so basic. It's so fundamental. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion 50, 100, 1,000 years ago. But nowadays, with this whole propaganda that has been weaponized against Western society with feminism and socialism and all these things, look at what they tried to do in the USSR and China. I mean, the first thing they want to do is put women in the workplace, right? I mean, they want to destroy the family. Mm-hmm. They want to take away religion as well in communism. But I just want to speak on this whole idea that, you know, actually, this is a good place for me to stop for our sponsor. I'm going to come back with my thoughts because I want to make sure that I remark on this. So thank you for watching our sponsor. Make sure you support them in the description below, and we'll come back for my thoughts.
This episode will continue after a brief word from our sponsor who supports our ministry.
A way to support the channel and be able to get a really great experience of waking up every single day with the Great Awakening Gourmet Coffee. So this is the website, thegreatawakeningcoffee.com. You go here, you click on Get Started, and then it takes you to the next step. You choose whether you're going to buy the coffee for your home or your office. So we'll just click home for now. And the website will load here. And by the way, this company is totally Patriots owned. So that's what I really like about this company. You can choose what kind of coffee you want, ground, whole, or the K-cup. So we'll just choose ground. It's the easiest. That's the way I buy it. And then you can pick the kind that you like. I prefer the Washington blend, South America blend. Click on that. You put in the size that you want, 1 pound or 2 pound. You can subscribe so that it sends the same amount of coffee at the same time every month. And then click subscribe and save. Then click on view cart. Make sure you put in the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount. And then proceed to checkout, and you know how to handle the rest with your credit card. It's that simple. You know what's going on right now with the corporate coffee is they're donating a bunch of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. So ditch the corporate coffee. Check out thegreatawakeningcoffee.com. Support the Patriots. Support this channel. Thank you so much for your support. God bless.
Okay, we're back. Thank you so much for supporting our ministry with the sponsor in the description below. So what I wanted to remark on is this idea that humans just tend to make up our own rules, right? We just choose ourselves as our own authorities. We use our gifts of rationality, and we come up with these very tidy little ideas that make sense to us, and we follow those instead of the Lord's. And the thing is, that creates chaos. When we try to create our own systems, they may be very clever, right? Like, look how clever it is that we can create an internal combustion engine, but look how horrible it is that we're polluting the world. You know, look how clever it is that we can create roads, but look how unclever it is that we have less trees to breathe air. So humans, we may be able to be very clever, but it seems like the more clever we are, the more we're digging ourselves into a hole. And I'm not throwing out rationality here, but I'm saying that with the system of the family, with the governance of the family, and that's the basis of everything for society at large, if we're creating our own rules, we're going to have problems. So this program, you have a choice to make. You can either read the Bible and check out what we're saying, try it out, and see if governance in your family and in your home, the biblical way, to see if it works. Or you can say to yourself, these guys are crazy. I'm not going to follow the Bible. The Bible's not my authority. I'm going to create my own way. And then you see how that works in your life. And I can guarantee you it's going to result in the type of chaos and patterns of addiction, strife, right? Strife in the home. Can you imagine when the husband and the wife have their own sets of ideas in their mind of the way things should go? They have no system of authority and submission and delegation. It creates strife. It creates fighting.
Yes.
It's so common. 50% divorce rate. I mean, who's in charge of the money? Who's making decisions here? There's no system. The human system of governing the home, if left to our own devices, is just chaos. So let's try God's way and see how it works. Let's just try it. Let's just see what happens when we submit to God's law. And I'm trying it, and we're experiencing miracles. You know, we are having harmony. We are having joy. We are having just strong connection and love. And it's beautiful. It's the way life should be. And, you know, I've tried it the other way, where I was trying to be the authority, and my wife was trying to be authority, and everyone was fighting all the time. So this is from experience, and I'm just trying to share something that has really been transformative to me.
That's excellent, Sean. That gives you credibility. This is what you're doing is what Revelation chapter 3, I believe it's. No, it's not in chapter 3. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting. It's chapter 12, 10 or 12. But the way you overcome the devil is by the word of your testimony of what Christ is doing in you. And to see, the devil can't handle that. The devil, he doesn't care about you reading, actually, even reading the Bible, going to meetings, singing the songs. But you get a testimony of what Christ is doing in you. See, you reading the Bible and singing those songs and going to meetings, that's you doing something. Okay. But now, you give some words to what Jesus is doing, that's it. You have nailed it. It's like you're overcoming the world because now your faith is more credible, more substantive. And that encourages others who hear it. It's like, wow, Sean Morgan, he does know the Lord. Listen to what God's doing in him.
And God gets the glory, not Sean Morgan, which is the whole point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is that. And when it's always about what we're doing, God is not getting the glory from that, Sean. And Sean, I thought it'd be good to, you know, one of these presuppositions that that we're bringing forward is that we talked about submission, and there's a lot there. We can go further, but let me address another part of that that will answer Andrea when she says that both the man, the husband and wife should honor God, okay, and honor each other as their spouses, okay? Now, yes, that is a true statement. However, there's a big caveat. What are you going to do when both are not doing that? One. Okay. What are you going to do? And what is the hope to the wife when she believes her husband is not honoring God? Does she, I'm going to come back to last week's comment. Does she have the authority to correct her husband?
A lot of wives. I haven't been able to find any reference in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone else can try to find one. I haven't been able to find one, but what you've pointed out, Barry, is that women can do something.
They have the power.
Their conduct.
Yes.
No, yeah, they have the power. They have the power to correct, but they don't have the authority.
That's
right. They have a solution to this problem. It's not a carnal solution that we would think of as humans, right? It's this spiritual solution. Of course, you can intercede with prayer, but through your holy conduct of yourself, you model the correct behavior. And that has a transformative effect on the marriage and on the relationship and on the husband. It's something that we would just never come up with on our own. This is Christ. You know, this is what he did. Did you see Christ going around, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong? Mm-hmm. He was hanging around with prostitutes. Did you see him condemning people all the time? Mm-hmm. No, he was modeling most of the time. He did correct people, of course, but most of the time he was modeling.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sean, there's victory here for both husband and wives. But let me, you said something here now about the marriage being transformed. The truth is, a lot of marriages may not be transformed. And so this is where wives, both husband and wives, but I think the wife especially, okay?
Both people are sovereign, the wife doesn't have the ability to change her husband, right? He still has to agree to transform, right?
Yes. See, here's where wives really need hope, okay, and not be weary and well doing. Not be weary and well doing. If we can see clearly, and that's all I'm doing, Sean, we're bringing it forward from the Word of God. We're clarifying to cut through the confusion of the man's jurisdiction that's limited and the wives, and for them to focus on their God-given roles, not on each other's. However, the man, he does have the authority with the Word of God to wash his wife. So he must know the woman question and the man, he has to know both parts, quite frankly. He's not going to know the wife part experientially, of course, right? He's the man, but he has to bring the authority of God's word forward to give her hope. Now, let me bring another part, another supposition, and that is the word suffering. Okay. See, when I read Andrea's comments, and Andrea, again, thank you for giving me a little bit more background. And I've had to help my own mom for years. Here's the thing, Sean. A lot of Christian women have a flowery picture of marriage. Okay. A romanticized view of marriage. And I'm not saying that's not right, because if you look at, we have the Song of Solomon. Hello. There's the sex book in the Bible. Okay. There's a nice word, sex, right? It's there, Song of Solomon. Okay. And it's very intimate. It's actually quite graphic, quite frankly, if you really can see what's being conveyed there, the intimate relationship between the man and the woman. And it's also a type and shadow for the intimacy between Christ as the groom and the bride. We're all the bride of Christ, the intimacy of fellowship with the head, the groom. But now, suffering. I mentioned the word suffering. So yes, women can have a rosy picture, an unhealthy rosy picture. Okay. So yes, husband and wife should be best friends, but what do we do? What do the wives do at a minimum when that's not happening, Sean? It's going to come into the suffering, realm. Okay. And, it's important to address this, because we're not understanding that when you follow Christ, it is a call to suffer. All right. And there's no, and I'm going to mention.
Do you think though it's permanent suffering? Because I mean, I went through this with you know, repairing my relationship with my wife, where I had to go through a period of temporary suffering where she was unjust to me, and I had to continue to be model the good behavior and be patient and to accept the situation temporarily through suffering. And that's what a lot of Christians have to do. They're persecuted, right? They're persecuted for righteousness. And so is that, are you saying that that's just permanent? Are you saying that the usually the suffering's temporary? Because we want victory too. So
yes,
is there both victory and suffering? Is it kind of a paradox?
I think so. I think there's, I think there's different degree. I think there's, when you get victory over a situation, there's promotion, but that promotion is, and that's victory. There's promotion over other people's strongholds. But you know what? And I'm just speaking out of my experience of applying the Word of God and being, you know, by the Spirit of God to be led of Him. There's promotion, but you know what? It's setting up for the next opportunity. It's just,
it's
there's
the next
more
level of growth.
Exactly, Sean. And this is pregnant with revelational victory. And that when we understand that, first of all, the Christian life is a call to suffer. When Jesus says, unless you take up your cross and deny yourself, you cannot. Hello. You cannot be His disciple if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross. All right. Now, the man has his part in that, and the woman has hers when we're talking about a marriage union, a family government. You see, because the Christian life is warfare and God calls men. So we go back to last week's episode where we talk about men are called with a mission to go out there. And then He gives us wives. If He gives us a wife to help us in that mission, Sean, this world is fallen. It is ugly. There are enemies out there. We are going to suffer for being the Lord's faithful witnesses out there, right? So that when we come home, ladies, we're not to come home to suffering. You know what? And this is going to be,
men are suffering enough out in the world, aren't
they? We are. We need to come home and be built up, have wonderful food, have a nice atmosphere, have the children, the wife just helping us. We take our armor off. We're not to have these warfare things going on in our homes. And so, a man's home is his castle, and that's going to require the wife to understand her jurisdiction to suffer. If she is going to suffer, if her husband is being disobedient, because he may not be, it might just be her perspective. Now, we'll go into that. But if, ladies, your place of suffering, if there is going to be suffering, is going to be essentially primarily in the home if you're under an unjust man, okay? Because we cannot have division. The man is the head of the home, and you are his helper. You are submitted to his headship. But that was a voluntary thing. Nobody forced you to marry that man.
True, Barry.
Come on.
Let's bring that in. It's like, just like men volunteered to protect and cultivate the wives, that's volunteering servitude as well. So
yes, sir.
This is all voluntary. Like, what's the alternative, Barry? Like, the alternative is that we go live our own egotistical life, just taking care of ourselves. Like, I tried that for years. I mean, that's not satisfying to the soul. You just end up having your own kind of suffering and rebellion to God. I mean, God designed family. He designed marriage. I mean, this is something that I never got until I was married. I never understood until I became a father that this is like such a divine design to make us take up our cross and bear our cross and deny ourselves. Yes. It's like it's built in. Like, there's no way you can be a husband or a wife without denying yourself. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. You can't be a father or a mother without denying yourself. You have to take care of another human being. Yes. You can't just be sitting down, relaxing, and eating Cheetos on the couch. You have to deny yourself.
That's right.
You have to go take care of someone else and you cultivate them spiritually, physically. Mm-hmm. You have to protect them spiritually and physically. I mean, it's a huge responsibility, but it feeds your soul. You are so satisfied.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, Sean, you are speaking to droves of men out there that are eating their Cheetos, right? they're eating their bonbons. Well, no, the ladies are supposed to be the bonbons or something like that, right? I mean, this is just, you know, we're joking and whatnot. But no, the reality is the average man is, and Andrea, to your point, men are messed up. Women are messed up too, but men are really messed up. And you're talking about the divine pattern, the divine order. Sean, when we get our minds around this and start fleshing it out in our homes, it is like, this is exciting. This is, we're getting, it is, because we're taking ground. We're called to warfare, yeah. Ladies. The men are called to warfare, and we need your support to just keep our home as a castle, and that we're enjoying ourselves there. That's where we have to retool. We go to pray. You know, it is ugly out there. And this
but it's
really
not just women aren't just the castle keepers. I mean, they are supposed to be aiding us in our spiritual visions, right?
And, yes,
and
sir.
So help this us. This is high art. Like we talked mm-hmm. in past episodes, this is like women are the vice president of your embassy here.
Sure.
You know, this is not some kind of lowly position here. So
Sean, I call her the executive, my wife, and I put her in writing like this. And this is going to come out in detail in my third book. So just, you know, kind of a little segue, you know, the first book that's coming out is defining what is an American and what is the idea of America, that we are a self-governed people. The second book that's I've been working on is a tool. It's about child training in the art of self-government. So the first book is about what is an American. The second one is training Americans. An American is not a sin. A people can be sinful, but America, I don't want our friends to hear this, Sean, because I'm getting pushback from people locally here. I'm in Pennsylvania in Cumberland Valley, and there are some believers here. They think when I talk about what's good about America, I want these people to hear. I'm hoping they're listening to this program, Sean, because I'm being very intentional. America is not sin. This land called America, God put it here. Jesus Christ created all things. The land is not sin. The land is broken. It is crying because of the sin of the people. And when the saints are acting like the wicked, that is the judgment of God, okay, on God's people. But America is good. God created it. He created it in the creation order, and then he did a mighty work by bringing Christ-centered ideas. But America, okay, so we're going to train Americans as we get clarity on that with our children. And then the third book is that a man's family is his business. And I almost lost my train of thought there. We were, you know, the man to drill down with his wife and children, it becomes a governing enterprise. A business enterprise. It is world overcoming. I'm telling you, Sean, and you know this now, the key to our America being great is not the courthouse, the schoolhouse, or even the White House. Sean, the key to America's greatness is your house and my house. And friends, it's your house that we're here to serve and build up for the glory of God.
It all starts in your heart and your relationship with God. And it's time to repent, you know,
yes,
to make it a lifestyle of repentance, because if we're left to our own devices, we fall short of the glory of God. And we need to just turn from that and commit and submit to Christ's kingdom government. Amen. And become knights of his round table and
yes.
to, you know, become ambassadors of his kingdom. Yes. And it's amazing because you're bestowed a lot of power and authority through that government. So it's not like we're submitting to some kind of tyrant here. We're submitting to the most most just and wonderful ruler of all. And and you get a lot of protection also from evil, by the way. So it's an amazing lifestyle. And I would just encourage people, you know, we were real about it. This is a lifestyle of suffering as well, but it's also a lifestyle of spiritual victory. So give it a shot, right? Give repentance a shot, give Christ a shot, give it a try, give Christ's government principles a try in your own life, in your own heart, in your own home, and just watch the miracles unfold. Barry, now I'd like to give you the opportunity to mention some people that wrote in briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, and then talk about your mission.
Okay. Sean, thank you. Yes, we did have, since our last episode, besides Andrea, that we took a lot of time with, and we're happy to do that. And Andrea, I want you as a friend. and so
she didn't expect to get a whole family of seven people praying for her, did she?
Yes, that's right. And Andrea, so as I talk about, I'll here in a few minutes, we'll talk about our ministry and where people can find us. Sean, we want to acknowledge a couple other folks here. We have Kim Ball, who wrote in. And so, Kim, thank you. Very well-written page here in this email to Sean. He forwarded it on to me. And I want to thank you for your comments there and your passion. I actually want to make a recommendation, because Kim is wondering about some eschatological things, you know, the end time events. And you know what? We've been in the end time since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing really unique about our time period. It's unique to us, but it's not unique in the grand scale of what Jesus is doing. And here's the thing. Every generation has thought that the return of Christ is coming while they're alive.
You should act that way.
Right. Well, you should, but don't. Right. But we're to be. Okay. Look, we're not to be focusing on when he comes back, because there's mysteries there and there's different interpretations. All right. But Kim mentioned Matthew 24. And since you did, and she quotes that passage, I am going to encourage you, Kim, to, I watched a debate years ago, and I believe it was between Gary DeMar and Tommy Ice, and they went head to head on Matthew 24. And see, there's different schools of interpretation as to, does that passage and then related ones in Revelation deal with future events, as a lot today believe, or is it dealing with events that actually already happened? When Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled." Okay, and so good grammar and rules of language would have you not import that into the future, but that it meant it had to make sense to the hearers that Jesus spoke that to, Sean. And that is, when he said, "This generation shall not pass away," it meant that generation. Okay, not many, many, many generations where we are today.
And so Jerusalem fell and everything did happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
Within one generation.
And I was looking for that interview, or it was actually a debate, and I didn't quite find it. But look on YouTube, and on Matthew 24, Gary DeMar and Tommy Ice. There's also Ken Gentry. He does some good things with that as well. And so just encourage Kim there, because here's the thing. You want to excel in your household governance and not be distracted by a lot of these theological things that they end up burning a lot of energy with no fruit. Okay, really no fruit. All right. And then Sean, Ruth Mancini.
She's wrote the best.
She's
such
a
great supporter of my channel.
She is. And I appear she is, has been very supportive. And so Ruth, yes, she did. She became a supporter of our ministry. She went ahead and joined our nation here at Household Embassy International Services. Ruth, thank you. You're going to hear from me a little bit more in postal correspondence. And that's what I'm intending to do with people who support us financially. And Ruth, you did. And bless you, madam. I appreciate your spirit that you convey here in the email to Sean. And thank you for your feedback that you're encouraged with this program and other episodes that Sean's doing during the week. But thank you and bless you, and stay tuned. You're going to be hearing from my family here in the post, by US Post. And that's how much we want to just make friends, Sean, friend raising, while, you know, funds are helpful, and we do encourage that. You're bringing up Sparks.
maybe she can get something from Sparks, because that has sparked something within me.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. That's it for the people who wrote in.
That's it. Those two folks. That you forwarded on to me. And
so tell us about Household Embassy. You know, He is mm-hmm. the acronym. Tell us about what you guys do, your website, what's available to people.
Yep. Thank you again, Sean. Thank you. Look, friends, I've been down a certain path for over 25 years now, and it's the overflow of what is good in my family, getting clarity on the man question, the woman question, and the children, and seeing that the family, it's not this little side thing. It is everything, because look at this. The triune God is a family of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's a community there. And our homes are to be a community first there. And when there's breakdown in our neighborhoods and other places, it starts, the breakdown's in the home. And so God's moved on me for 25 years to see our homes as a government. This is no fabrication or elasticizing this thing. It's really what it is. Okay. It is a government. We've not been shown that it is, but I can show you in the Bible that, like an elder or somebody wants to govern the church, if he doesn't rule his house well with his children in subjection, he's disqualified. Okay. So you can visit us at libertyisthelaw.us. All right. And read, there's lots of good content there. There's much more coming. I'd like you to consider joining, really join. It doesn't cost anything to join. So that's free. If you join, you get access to additional content and you'll see that. And I have a video that I'll be explaining that when you join. That's in process right now. But Sean, when people join, they get access to other tools that I have. So people don't have to join. There's plenty of free things there. There's trial. Okay, let me back up. I do excel in management, administration, governance, and organization. Organization is the mind of God. And so I can help people there. You don't have to become support our mission. If you just want help in your personal professional life, go to the rebuild page. Okay, and there's some sub pages, but if you go to rebuild, I am talking, look how I think governmentally. There's tools for rebuilding your family government out of the ruins of Babylonian captivity. And so I can help you rebuild your self-government. And I'm very specific, Sean, about what that looks like. Okay. Rebuild your marital union.
That's what you've been mentoring me on, rebuilding my marital union.
Glory. Amen. I know it's vital. It's because to the degree the harmony is there, the man and woman have to have a united front. When there's children involved, you'll get the it's going to be, yeah, it'll be gravy there when the husband and wife come together. So we're rebuilding marital union, excellence in child training and development, household governance, and business development. So that's where I will give you 30 minutes of my time to talk about where there's pain in those areas for you. Okay. And so you don't have to join our nation, our ministry for that. But if you do join, which is free, we're going to give you more time and there's more tools to just seeing your home. See, when your home comes under the Lordship of Christ, it is an outpost for the kingdom of God. It's an embassy. And I'm pregnant with this view that our homes are, there's a resurrection going on, Sean, of our homes as an embassy for our unseen King. Okay. It's an embassy. Amen. And there's lots of privileges there. And so please consider joining Household Embassy International Services. And then you can also support us with financial support, talent support, and your time. We're in a very lean time, but we're coming out of it. But we're here. This is full time for me, Sean, and I'm not doing it because the money is there. I'm doing it despite that, because this is where my love is for 25 years. God's been preparing me. And Sean, I'm thanking you for the Lord, for your life, for William, who's a friend, a mutual friend of ours. And God is raising up a work of his Spirit in men and women to govern righteously. And this is what our ministry is about, is that our houses are the key to America's greatness. And as much as we want a God-fearing man in the White House, okay, our hope is not there. Our hope is in the King, our unseen king, and he's working through his body. That's the church and the family. See, so we're coming together under the authority of Christ. Essentially, this is a measure of church teaching, quite frankly, but we're instructing the family government. Okay. And we want to drill down there.
Yes. And make sure you check out the resources. I don't know if it's called the resources page, but there's a place where Barry's family, who excels in film and media, they created a list of family friendly and Christian movies. And this movie list has been really great for our life. Because, you know, you just feel like you're stuck with Netflix and they freaking put the satanic stuff right in front of your family's face every single time you turn it on. So, you know, now I have like dozens and dozens of family values, Christian movies to watch because your family curated that list, because not all those movies out there that are, they say they're Christian. Yeah. Some of them aren't, and some of them just are plain not entertaining. And so that curated list is a really nice resource for Christian families. And you also have a survey where people can find out whether they are aligned with our enemies or whether they are have a biblical worldview. So you got all kinds of resources. So check out libertyisthelaw.us. Check out the description below. You're going to get all the links for everything. Sean Morgan Report, where you can get the breaking news analysis, all the different sponsors that we have, you know, that are supporting our ministry, supporting the homeless vets with the Hero Soap Company, supporting Christian company, redpillliving.com and Great Awakening Coffee. I mean, support patriots. Stop supporting the Fortune 500 and start supporting Christian companies and patriot companies. And it's, you support this channel, you support Barry's ministry and my ministry when you support the sponsors in the description below. So thank you so much for your support. And what I want to get into next time is what makes America unique, because we haven't been emphasizing that. Barry truly believes that America is modeled on Christ's principles, and he has the primary source material to back it up, including the Bible. So let's talk about that next time on Sunday Scriptures for Patriots. God bless all you patriots. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of our Christian self-government ministry by supporting our sponsor.
Don't you feel like giving back to the heroes who risk their lives every day to make the world a safer place? I mean, the military, the police, the firefighters, the first responders, they don't get enough respect or gratitude. To think that there are homeless veterans right now, I mean, they deserve a place to live. Well, my friend Lucas is a veteran who was tired of seeing other vets living on the street, and he started HeroSoapCompany.com. He makes natural soap that's healthier for you and your family. He uses essential oils, goat's milk, coconut oil, and if you have sensitive skin or dry skin, it's really perfect. But you can actually get a subscription and get it delivered to your door every month, but the best part is that it helps heroes like homeless vets get a place to live. Go over to HeroSoapCompany.com, use the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount, and check out all the varieties. And my favorite one's peppermint, because of the aroma, the fresh tingly feeling. It's really an awesome natural product for your family. But while you're there, learn about the charities that the Hero Soap Company supports, so you can support the heroes, support your health, support your family with chemical-free soap, and support the channel through HeroSoapCompany.com.